and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities.
All right, folks, we're back. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this fourth day of March. Last hour I said fifth. The fourth day of March. I don't want to wish anybody's life away, including my own. 2005. Program airs Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and that is Central Time. A lot of different ways that you can listen to this programming. Folks, we offer free streaming, 32-bit for you high-speed DSS people. Roadrunner people, we've got 16 kilobit if you've got a better dial-up modem, or if you're bandwidth challenged and we feel your pain, you can download at 8 kilobits. Yeah, it sounds a little tinny, and yeah, it gets buffered, but it's better than nothing. But we're also on AM and FM stations all over the place. We're also on satellite, so and shortwave, so many different ways in which to hear this program. And do me a favor, and do yourself a favor, do all of us a favor. Let your friends know. We're talking with Jeremiah Griffin today, Texans Against Checkpoints, and legislation that's pending down here in Texas is for specifically, that's right, drunk driving checkpoints, folks. I find this rather strange, Jeremiah. I could see if this was an epidemic and death fatalities on the roads were escalating and it was such a pandemic problem, rather than the one in 130 that might be impaired. Okay, and that's another thing. At what point are you impaired? Because I guarantee you blow a .05, .06, .07, they're going to get you in for impaired. Not drunk, but impaired. That's the hook. Okay, so folks, they say that it's illegal to exceed this limit of blood alcohol and drive a car, okay? But if you're caught with less than that, I guarantee you, you'll get an impaired ticket. So they got you either way. And this is just not to set the format here. This is, please, folks, this is not just about whether you're responsible or irresponsible. This has to do with police state tactics here, that you have to prove yourself innocent to the state because they're presuming you're guilty. That's what is at the heart of this matter. And we'll go back to the phones here. I want to roll these. Dylan in Texas. Hello, Dylan. You've been hanging on for quite some time. Go ahead.
That's all right. I had the joy of meeting Jeremiah this week. I just joined up with Texans Against Checkpoints. And how you doing, Jeremiah?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Yeah, and you need to give me a project. I gave you an email today. Need to give me a project.
All right, I'll have to pull your name on the list and see what you signed up for.
This is in the Texas legislature. This is Senate Bill 25 and House Bills 309 and 50.
Right.
And this is beyond corporate corruption, government enterprise here. This is really eating out our substance, as it says in the Declaration of Independence. And this was much, much easier to research than the Patriot Act legislation. None of these bills are more than two pages long, and they all have the same wording. There's three of them. If you read one, you've read them all. They all have certain keywords, such as should not, and that's opposed to shall not or shall. Mm-hmm. And that's unless a peace officer has reasonable suspicion or probable cause, either. They're replacing probable cause now with reasonable suspicion. See, this is actually implementation of the Patriot Act, and these are not roadside checkpoints. These are seizure points. I think we've all been listening to Jesse Andrews long enough now to know that these are seizure points. This is Fourth Amendment infringement measures, whatever they're calling it in this bill. We have certain other keywords, such as blood. They're talking about a peace officer who requires or requests an operator to provide a specimen of breath, blood, or urine must comply with chapter da-da-da. You know, all right, folks, I'm going down the road. Anyone who's going to try to take my blood, they're a vampire. I'm a Christian. I'm going to defend myself.
Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate it, Dylan. All right, yeah, I want to get into the specific language of this bill pending here in Texas also. We'll take the short break, come back, more of your calls right after this.
doctor was truly amazed at the improvements my heart showed after my heart attack. Thank you, Cartavite.
I was having a hard time breathing and had to rest in the afternoon, but since Cartavite, that's all changed now.
I've had chronic fatigue for 12 years now and decided to try Cartavite. Boy, it's improved my energy dramatically.
Cartavite.
We all use Cartavite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cartavite. Cartavite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cartavite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cartavite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cartavite.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Texans against checkpoints. Young man that decided that it is time to step up and take some action to go against those that are going against freedom and liberty in this country, folks. And this is important. Now, folks, we have seen, now we're expected to believe that these checkpoints are going to be for our public safety, to eliminate drunks and to put them in jail and get them the help that they need. Because after all, you know that alcohol is a disease. I didn't know that doing a 12-ounce curl in excess was a disease, but there are people that that do believe that it is. Now, without getting into those kinds of arguments, I am just going back and looking at what cops are doing now. And my favorite guy, I won't mention his name today. I beat him up enough. But let's just say he's on Round Rock PD. I'll give him a break today. It was one of these canine units. And, of course, during a routine stop, for whatever reason, I did not know the reason for pulling him over, but evidently the individuals, I have witnessed this, was not impaired or drunk or anything else. This was just a routine traffic stop. Well, he got the dog to go through his car and the whole nine yards. And I got into a deep discussion with this particular officer, and his comment to me was, well, if you don't have anything to hide, what's your objection to me searching? And I said, by using that logic, then you and your buddies can come to my house and say the same thing. He said, don't be ridiculous. I said, who's being ridiculous here? We're talking about people being free in this country, folks, and you've got to be committing a crime, you've got to be doing something, and that's got to be witnessed by the police officer, okay? This is not Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia. This is America. And if somebody tells me that they're going to do something for my safety, well, I'm reading this bill that's proposed down here in Texas. One of the chapters here in this bill says that a peace officer may request a person operating a motor vehicle at a checkpoint to display the person's driver's license and to furnish evidence of financial responsibility as required by law. This also would include seatbelts, would it not? This would include a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah, I mean, they're throwing out the butterfly net here.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest problems with this type of legislation here. And I spoke with the mad lobbyist in Texas, and he tried to tell me over and over that these bills contain provisions that are going to limit the police to searching for drunks only. And I'd invite everybody listening to please just go look at the bills themselves, and you will not find any language anywhere in the bill that restricts the police officers searches only to those that are inebriated. I mean, they can get you for, taillights being out, seatbelts, registration, stickers, whatever, you name it. There's nothing in the bill that would limit them to only looking for drunks.
Well, in this one bill that's proposed, let me get it doesn't have a number on it. Yes, it does. HB 50 here. A bill to be entitled an act, as I'm going through these subsections, J here. Unless a peace officer has reasonable suspicion or probable cause to detain a motor vehicle operator or passenger, folks,
mm-hmm.
Okay, we catching that? Wait a minute. Don't they say over and over again that we have designated drivers, so if somebody's drunk in my car, am I committing offense?
That passenger clause is worth noting because they're supposedly only targeting, drunk drivers. Well, why would they have something in the legislation there that enables them to check out the passenger as well if they're actually only after the drivers?
Exactly. And then this goes on to say the probable cause to detain a motor vehicle operator or passenger for a criminal offense, the time during which an officer makes an inquiry of an operator or passenger should not exceed 2 minutes. Well, and they say that and the total time during which the operator must wait to pass through the checkpoint should not exceed 10 minutes.
Right, and the different bills, vary a little bit on that. One of them reads 3 minutes. But if you talk to people that live in the states that already have these, you're going to hear all kinds of stories about two-hour waits, one-and-a-half-hour waits. And, take a look at the bill. There is no penalty there if they don't meet that 10-minute standard, or if the wait exceeds 10 minutes, they're not going to get in trouble for that.
Well, but they do say that the officers, I mean, that they have criteria here for setting up these checkpoints that they can't, that they have to announce that they're going to do checkpoints, but not what date, time, and location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're just going to throw it out. So there's your fear factor, folks.
Right,
you might be held up in traffic. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Down here in Austin, this is really not a good idea to put up checkpoints anywhere near a major artery because we already have enough traffic problems down here as it is. So having said that, I'm reading this stuff, and there are so many loopholes here. And if you actually believe, folks, if you actually believe this is just about catching a couple of drunk drivers, they threw this out in Michigan, by the way, Jeremiah, because they did the checkpoints, and what they discovered was they weren't catching any drunks. And what they were doing was impeding traffic, slowing down, interrupting commerce and the whole nine yards, and they backed out of it. Back to the phones, Fred in Michigan. Hello, Fred.
You doing?
Good.
I'm curious. I don't drink much anymore. Not that I'm against it, but I see the talking heads up here all the time on TV talking about people being legally drunk that aren't even driving. As far as I know, there's no law about drinking or being drunk.
Well, there is. Now, I'm glad you brought that up because if you're not driving, and my question has always been if people are really concerned, why do bars have parking lots? Okay, number one. But if you think about this, if you are intoxicated and you walk outside of a bar and your car is in the parking lot and you realize you were just having irrational exuberance and consumed too much alcohol, you are now in violation of the law because you're standing on a public sidewalk and you're intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be intoxicated unless your taxi cab is going to drive, unless they have drive-thrus for bars now that they throw you out a window and into a cab, that you actually have to be on public property in order to get into the cab. So there are loopholes. But I hear exactly what you're saying.
Well, what I'm wondering is when did this happen? Because I thought these guys are out of their minds. There's the number of 0.1 or 0.08, whatever it is based on driving while impaired. Now, I don't understand walking while impaired and what the problem is. I can understand it if you're disorderly. I know there's a drunken disorderly if you're
right.
causing problems.
Right.
But if you're just walking calmly around, like you say, if I were to drink tonight, I would get a cab if I knew I was going to have too much. But I'd still be legally drunk, evidently.
Right.
I've heard of people in wheelchairs being charged with being legally drunk, and I don't know of any law about that.
I believe that's just one of those kind of catch-all things. If they need to get you for something, they can get you for public intoxication. And it's not something that they would probably get somebody unless they couldn't get them on anything else.
Okay, I heard of an anecdote of somebody in Oklahoma that I read on the net where the police went to his house and observed a bottle, open bottle in his house and charged him with drunken disorderly. So things are getting a little bit weird there.
Well, and it has to do with also abuse, okay, abuse of laws out there. Because, you know, I have seen, and I consider this to be entrapment, I've seen cops sitting out in front of bars.
Right.
And pulling people as they leave a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. It's getting kind of weird out there. But they're pressing for it. And if anybody believes that once they institute these checkpoints and they're allowed, that they're not going to be adding to these.
Yeah,
you know, can we, because during a routine traffic stop, come on, folks, they're already asking you, do you have any alcohol in the car? Do you have any drugs? Do you have any contraband? Do you have any illegal weapons? And if you refuse a search of your car, to them now, it's probable cause that you have something to hide and you're going to get out of that car.
Yeah, that's what I've often wondered, that I don't drink much anymore, and if I were to stop for that, if I refuse, what would I go through?
By the way,
I'm not drunk.
by the way, what flavor of alcohol is much? You said you don't drink much anymore. Is that brandy or beer?
Sometimes I'll have some whiskey at home with my coffee, you know, occasionally, yeah. Once a month,
maybe. A hot
toddy or
something.
Yeah. I used to, but those days are beyond me now. But I'm sure that if I went out and I could get intoxicated, but... Mainly, I'm just curious, and it always makes me wonder when I hear these TV people say somebody's legally drunk. I said, I know it's illegal to drive a car with that blood alcohol content, but sitting in your home,
yeah.
How can you be legally drunk?
Well, and then, of course, thanks for your call, Fred. I appreciate it. And, of course, gosh, folks, I mean, I've said this. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times in this program. I'm not advocating people not being responsible. Mothers Against Drunk Driving here, Jeremiah, are complaining that the people that make and sell alcohol are spending way, way too much money. Children are seeing TV ads with alcohol, and it's just pandemic. It's just such a problem. And they're citing statistics that, in certain environments, children as young as 13 are drinking. You know, this is parental stuff here. They're crossing a line, and this is parental.
Another interesting thing is that the founder, and I'm going to get this news story posted on our website because I thought it was interesting, but the founder of Mothers Against Drunk Driving has come out against Mothers Against Drunk Driving and basically said, this is not what I, you know, set out to do. This is again, you know, she said you've taken this too far.
Well, and they have. And anybody believes they're not going to use these checkpoints once they set them up, because they're already doing it. I mean, cops on the NCICs are running people's plates at random. I've caught them in this parking lot, going around from car to car, running plates.
Wow.
Just to see who they are. And if you doubt this, watch your police cars in traffic when you pull up to a light. And if he happens to be sitting behind you, you'll see what I'm saying. But you get a better view if you're sitting behind him or maybe to the side. But they're on that computer. They'll run your plates. Now, where is the probable cause for something like that? There is none. Period. Zippo. Nothing. Take the break here, get back. John Stewart, Sebastian, and others. We'll get your calls, and we'll roll these calls quickly. This, folks, you want to weigh in on this? This is an important thing. I mean, you're going to watch a little bit more of your freedom and liberty. And we've already discussed driver's licenses in past shows on this car, on this show. I mean, we're talking about people driving cars not for commercial use, but guess what you got to have? Their own law says you don't have to have it, but they're telling you got to have it. We'll be back.
At 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you are in a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security. And there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we are on a course with a similar destiny. What are you going to do? Hop aboard a well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great-tasting dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat. For over 5,000 years, gold has been the only true money in this world, and Republic Broadcasting has found the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Stadtmiller here, and yes, I did find the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity. With the help of my good friend Robbie Noel, we've started Republic Trading Group, a company dedicated to serving RBN listeners with the best service available.
That's right, John. For the first time, Republic listeners can now buy with confidence. By eliminating the middleman and working with one of the oldest and most respected distributors of numismatic coins in the United States, we can now guarantee that within 24 hours of cleared funds, you will receive a tracking number so you can see exactly when your order arrives. It's that easy. No fuss, no hassle.
For more information, call 1-800-691-7898. 1-800-691-7898.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Unless a peace officer has reasonable suspicion or probable cause to detain a motor vehicle operator or passenger for a criminal offense, the time which during an officer makes an inquiry of an operator or passenger should not exceed 3 minutes. Well, wait a minute. I just read 2 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
So it changes. Did they try this before, Jeremiah, here in Texas?
That's my knowledge. They did spend about 6 years getting the .08 provision here in Texas. But I believe this is the first year that they've introduced these bills in the state of Texas here.
Now, keep in mind, until recently, you could actually have an open container in a car.
They're also responsible for that.
Yeah. and that was weird, folks, because when I first came down here to Texas, I'd be seeing passengers, not drivers, but passengers in a car drinking a beer. And I went, whoa. You know,
that was pretty recent, I believe.
Yeah, it was. I think it was in the last year or so. John in Tennessee, thanks for holding, John. You're on the air.
Consent laws mean that passengers are routinely convicted of drunk driving when the car is registered in their name, such as a husband and wife going out to dinner. So that's what thousands and tens of thousands of people are convicted that way who've had nothing to drink. But if they go to a restaurant that serves alcohol, police officer pulls them over on a traffic stop, and they say, well, yeah, you know, they serve, we were at a restaurant that serves alcohol. We didn't have any, or only one of us did. The other is a designated driver. Then they both get a DUI conviction, arrest, go to jail because they're never going to believe that they didn't drink alcohol.
Right.
So, and you mentioned the zero tolerance prohibition. Well, the Tennessee Driver License Handbook agrees, quote, you can be convicted of drunk driving with a blood alcohol level of 0.00%, end quote. So there's no legal limit. There's no passing score for these alcohol tests. That's just a scam that the media puts out to try to trick people into going along with this scam. And lawyers who specialize in DUI law know that so-called blood alcohol machines cannot even test for alcohol since there's hundreds of normal chemicals in the body that give a false reading.
They're highly inaccurate.
Yeah, and people especially, John, with diabetes.
Right, that gives a definite ketoacidosis score. They cannot tell. Plus, you might be a little bit incoherent or stumbling when you've got a little bit of diabetes going on. And they beat people to death all the time in a diabetic coma because they think they're drunk.
Well, you know, Jeremiah, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I busted the military. I think this is about a year ago that the military was actually out with local law enforcement at checkpoints, and their guise was these were safety belt checkpoints. See, they've been conditioning the public here year after year. That we're going to do safety belt enforcement checkpoints and all of these things. But the National Transportation, the National Highway Transportation Safety Board, these are the people that are responsible for getting our Marines involved in checkpoints. Now, you know, throw out the posse comitatus thing, I guess, here. Right. You got military, you know, Marines standing alongside roadsides at checkpoints. Hey, thanks for your input, John. Anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to say that a person with a healthy liver can drink 24 beers a day and have a 0% blood alcohol score since the liver digests one beer per hour. So, and, you know, any DUI lawyer will agree to this. The Tennessee Driver's License Handbook agrees to this.
Now, let me get you straight, because Jeremiah, he's got this finger pursed up here. Now, did you say that you could drink how many beers?
Well, you could drink 365 times 24 per year and have a 0% blood alcohol level every day of the year, every hour of the year, if you have a healthy liver and you don't have Native American blood or Asian blood, which can't digest alcohol under any circumstances.
I'd like to see the statistics on that one.
Sure, that's just common knowledge. That's your liver can digest one beer per hour, correct?
Yeah.
That's responsible drinking, correct?
Well, according to their newfound lower contents, yeah.
Something
okay,
like 15%.
Multiply that by 24 and you got your answer.
Yeah, something like 15% burns off after every hour passed or something like that, but I'd have to look it up. I don't know right off the top of my head.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call, John. Sure. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to look into that one because I don't know what is termed as being a healthy liver, and I do know what you got.
Oh, I wanted to get one of the interesting things, and I was trying to pull it up, but I know it off the top of my head, so I can tell you anyway. On the MAD website, they specify that, according to them, a drink consists of 0.48 ounces of alcohol, and I don't know if that's pure grain alcohol or what. It doesn't really specify, but according to them, a 170 or 75-pound man should be able to drink 5 to 6 drinks. Well, you know, everybody knows that if you drink more than 2 beers, you know, a 175-pound man is going to be considered drunk by the 0.08 standard. So, you know, I just thought that was kind of funny that they try to make it sound like people are, they really aren't going to be causing people that much of an inconvenience, and, you know, when the truth is just not going to reflect their figures.
Well, I thought that the standards before were they would consider a shot of what proof alcohol, it wasn't 100
40
proof,
or something.
Yeah, 40 or 40-some percent, 42%. And that the standard was an ounce shot, not a 0.48, whatever. I mean, so, oh, boy, the figures are flying. And, you know, liars like to figure, and figures lie. So it depends on who's throwing out the figures at you, folks. More of your phone calls after this. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
Today, the media is flooded with reports of everything from antibiotic-resistant supergerms to the possibility of a dangerous cold and flu season. What will you do to keep you and your family healthy and safe? There is now a scientifically proven alternative with 7 years of clinical studies called Super Silver Solution. Super Silver's combination of supercharged silver and oxygen has been proven to kill hundreds of bacteria and to be at least up to 300% more effective than any other silver product on the market. Super Silver is the only patented silver product scientifically proven to kill the germs that cause colds, flu, sinus, eye, ear, and respiratory infections, and many more, yet completely safe for everyday use by children and adults of all ages. Call International Health now for a complete information pack with CD at 800-974-1879. Let the power of supercharged silver protect you and your family. That's 800-974-1879. We're so sure it works. In fact, we guarantee it. Call 800-974-1879 or visit supersilver.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All right, we're back. We better roll these calls, Jeremiah. We're never going to get through them.
All righty.
John in Oregon. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm an old geezer. I used to be in law enforcement. I'm listening to your show, and I'm sitting here with my, I'm shocked. That's the only thing I can say.
How long were you in law enforcement?
Count military, 16 years.
And when did you retire from your police duties?
1985.
Okay, so I can, geez, John, you're old enough to remember this one. I can remember when a police officer would pull you over, and if you weren't an aggressive person and he saw no indication that any crimes had been committed, there were no bloody knives in the front seats or whatever, I can remember law enforcement actually asking people, well, do you live far from here? I'll follow you home.
Yeah. I'm listening to the your callers, and we had very strict guidelines for arrest. Mm-hmm. and car stops, and we had to, of course, take an oath, for enforcing local state laws, but also the Constitution.
Right.
And at that time, the courts were very strict as to what you could do as far as detaining and search vehicles or homes or whatever.
Right.
So, and what I'm hearing, this is completely different from the way we were trained. It appears to me, and I could be wrong, like I said, I've been out of it for quite some time, but it appears to me that this is more of a shotgun approach, if you know what I'm talking about,
sure.
of law enforcement.
Sure.
And when, I hate to say in the old days, you know, but we, one of our main concerns was, of course, you know, law enforcement, but the second one was how the public perceived us, because our information and our safety, you know, especially if you're working in a large metropolitan area.
We were just discussing that point during the break, by the way.
Right.
Officer safety on the street.
And we've seen it change probably, I've seen a big change probably the early 80s to when I got out, more of, how would you say, a military. We went from peace officer to military mentality.
Well, and it used to, and I know you remember this also, and I want to ask a follow-up question of you. You remember, and I'm reading this bill, by the way, this proposed bill here for Texas, and they do refer to uniformed officers as being peace officers. Everything is law enforcement now. And you alluded to this, that there was a public trust and a bond between community police, local PDs, whatever, county sheriffs. I mean, if you're in a rural area, I mean, everybody knew everybody by name, and they knew their habits, and they knew if Billy Bob was going to get out of line a little bit, and there wasn't this heavy-handed tactics. But I have noticed more and more, we were talking about this at this Tuesday meeting at Truth Seekers, that here we have the guys that are dressed in black BDUs that look like they could bench press a house, wearing the high and tight, and it's an intimidating type factor.
Right.
This thin blue line that's out there, and I hope the police officers recognize this, because what we're talking about here is over and above what peace officers should be involved with. Now,
well, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, bringing back a lot of memories, and I remember I was in the academy, and there was an old sergeant who was teaching patrol procedures, and he says, before they issued you a gun and a badge, they issued you a brain. And, you know,
yeah.
and 95% of the time, you can take a bad situation if you just use your brain a little bit.
Right.
So I'm seeing, you know, when I hear checkpoints and stuff like that, it concerns me a lot, especially with, I think one of your callers made a comment of posse comitatus.
Right.
And I was in the military, law enforcement also, and we if you're going across a military installation, you know, for example, if there's a county road, it would be a concurrent jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the deputy sheriff or the military police could
right.
effect an arrest.
Right.
But off base, we were strictly prohibited of participating in anything.
Well, there have been news stories, and I've covered these news stories extensively in the last couple of years, where they were actually using the military police and just the common foot soldiers, grunts, what have you, outside of the bases and installations working with law enforcement. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the flavor and the timber of what we're talking about, the tone of this, do you think that we're overreacting here?
I think what you're bringing up is valid points for three reasons. And, you know, when someone pins on a shield, your first responsibility is to the people. That's your first responsibility, not to the department. And that, I think what we've turned around is, you know, we've become an us versus them mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for example, if there's, like I said, we had discretion. You know, if you knew that something was illegal, we were trained to find other avenues, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
We didn't have to break the law.
Right.
To effect an arrest or to initiate an investigation. And some of the old guys, they knew everybody, and they could they had discernment, which I don't think we have today in law enforcement.
Well, and it's more and more being militarized. One quick question, I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Do you listen to the Officer Jack McLam program?
Yes, I listen to him, and he seems again concerned about where law enforcement is going.
Yeah, I mean the most highly decorated law enforcement PD officer in Phoenix Police Department history, and this guy saw where all this was going, came out with Police Against a New World Order, and he has tens of thousands of contact in law enforcement, current law enforcement, military, retired, and. A great guy, a champion. He was down here a couple of weeks ago, John, and I'll tell you what, he broke the house down when he was talking about the safety and security and real securing the liberties and freedom, because that's what this is really all about in this country. And he had me breaking down crying because he said, you know what, I am not going to leave to my grandchildren, my 9 grandchildren, what I am seeing right now here in America. I refuse to do that.
Well, if I may add, just, you know, you asked me if you're overreacting. I think there's some people probably, of course, you know, they're going to get mad when the police do their job.
Sure.
On the other hand, I think that for any officers or deputies out there, when you pin that badge on, you know, you're pinning it on not just to enforce the law, but to set an example about the laws in this country. And that includes the Constitution.
Right.
And without that, we don't have any laws. But I appreciate you letting me say something.
I appreciate your service, and I can tell just by your demeanor and what you've been talking about, you were one of the good guys.
Well, we try, you know, and not that police don't make mistakes, you know, they do. But you know, the bottom line is, we were there for you.
Right.
So, again, thank you for letting me talk.
All right. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate your call very much. I have gotten calls, Jeremiah, from police officers. The first day that we were open here, I haven't told this story probably to you, but I'm sitting in here and I'm doing a broadcast. And when the show, I think, was ending, the door was open to the studio, and I look up, and there's a cop in uniform with an envelope in his hand. And he's tapping the envelope, and he asked, are you, and he butchered my last name. And I looked at him, and I said, yes, and what can I do for you, officer? And he goes, I just wanted to shake your hand. And he says, I've been listening to your show, and he said, I know who you are. And he said, I just wanted to shake your hand. So, you know, folks, look, I mean, here's the bottom line. And I wanted to mention, by the way, when John was on the air, that the older guys that he was alluding to, if you ever talk to some of these young bucks out here, and in my experience, there's been two kind of guys that get into law enforcement. And I don't know that bringing people out of the military that have that military mindset is a good thing to put them in uniform, because, you know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. You have to have a brain first. But the military, they police departments like this because they're used to following orders and following
right.
policy and so on and so forth. I don't know that that's a good thing, but I do know this. The old guys that he's speaking about, we used to call them mossbacks or graybacks, the older guys, the guys that have been around for some time that had that experience, that know what peace officers versus law enforcement is all about. And it's a shame because we either the law enforcement, as it's so put now, either has respect for the citizenry and the Constitution, or it doesn't. And that thin blue line, and I want all the peace officers, the good cops out there, to keep this in mind, and even some of the bad ones. Think about this. That thin blue line, you're only out there on the street doing your job because the public citizenry allows you to do it. And it comes to a point that you're involving yourself in policy and not following positive law or constitution, just because somebody says this is public law or public policy, you know, I might suggest that you may want to go into another line of work. You know, I hear it all the time. The cops don't get paid enough for the dangerous job that they do. Hey, you know, maybe you should consider. And two cops, Jeremiah, two types of individuals, personalities that I've seen go into law enforcement over the years is either the Billy Bad Butt, that wants to load up the 6-gun and wear that badge, and he wants to kick butt and take names, or the other guy that wants to help his community, wants to be a part of it. You know, they're two totally different mindsets.
Right.
And the people I'm seeing now, oh, buddy, They ain't in that second category of wanting to help people. That's for sure. Sebastian in Texas. Hello, Sebastian. You've been holding for almost an hour. Go ahead. You there, Sebastian? Maybe he fell asleep. I'll tell you what. Put him on hold. Let's go to Tommy in Texas. We'll go back to Sebastian. Hello, Tommy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
first
sir.
Time caller here. As usual, you've got a great show and a fascinating topic. I was just calling to basically agree that, my gosh, this whole checkpoint thing, it's just a precursor to a very scary idea for the future. But one thing that I wanted to say was I think that there's still room for, you know, a reasonable DUI law and reasonable procedures for enforcing it. It's just a matter of striking a proper balance, I think. And one thing I'd like to hear a comment on, I'll get off the line after I pose this question, just basically a comment on what your guess idea would be for a reasonable way to enforce a DUI or a DWI law. And thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate your call, Tommy. Good question. He's supposing that we've got to strike a balance here, but
yeah, I don't part of the problem that this raises is, you know, what are you going to do if you want to catch drunk drivers? Well, the statistics show that the currently utilized methods of the roaming patrols are more effective at the actual catching of drunk drivers. So we need to remember that, first of all, because what they're doing currently works better. So that's part of the answer. And, you know, a lot of people are throwing around ideas, you know, well, you're not going to get MAD to stop pushing these laws until you can call them off by getting them to sign on to some other kind of alternative method. And we're in the process of collecting those right now. I've heard a lot of people talking about buses and whatnot. I have to think there's probably some type of private industry solution that it can also be arrived at. But, you know, restricting people's freedoms should not be the first thing that people jump to do when we're trying to find a solution to a problem.
Well, when you brought that point up, I'm thinking about the resources that they're tying up. And I do agree with you. I think the roving patrols do work better because I'll tell you what, the common man, and I don't know if there's any real training program for spotting drunk drivers on the road, but the common layman or the civilian, as they like to refer to us now as being, you can spot somebody that's drunk.
Right,
you know,
absolutely,
that something's wrong. People have been pulled over before because their car would not pass a safety inspection. They had so much slop in the front end of their car, you know, take a half a turn, you know, to move your car. I mean, there are mechanical reasons why a car may not stay on a straight line, but I have never seen a cop worth his salt that can't spot a drunk driver from a distance away. So I'm in agreement with you about the roving patrols.
I'd like to announce our meeting. Do I have time?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We're foregoing the last break here.
Okay.
We got callers, so go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, excellent. We're going to be having a meeting here. It's going to be Tuesday, March 8th. That's this coming next Tuesday. And it's 2 p.m. at the Broken Spoke, which is, I believe, the oldest bar here in Austin. And that's located on 3201 South Lamar. And, of course, that's here in Austin, Texas. You can check our website, and we've got a link where you can click to see the map in case you don't already know where that place is. But we're going to be organizing with local citizens that are interested, and as well as restaurant and bar owners, because this directly affects their business, so they're definitely concerned. And we're putting together just a local group of people who are going to get the word out, because basically our belief is that this issue, if the public was aware of it, at least here in Texas, would oppose this type of legislation, and that's the general consensus when I've been speaking with people.
Yeah, you were telling me during a break that everybody that you've been running into, I mean, not one person has said to you that, yeah, I'm all for this, because they intrinsically sense that this is a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, for people that don't see the other signs, this one's pretty obvious and blatant. I mean, I've had the most mainstream people just come right out and say, what is this, communist Russia?
Yeah, and as you stated, that this crosses the political lines also. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican or whatever. You're getting the same response back from everybody.
That's right.
Geez, you mean even liberals in the country value their freedom? I'm encouraged. Is Sebastian, do we have him? Okay, great. Hello, Sebastian.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you had spoken to Linda Curtis possibly about any of this yet, to get the people that are supporting her with the toll road question behind this.
I don't know. Jeremiah, have you spoken to her?
We keep missing each other. We've been playing phone tag for probably 4 or 5 days now, but okay. We're going to be getting in touch with her because they've done an excellent job organizing, and we're hoping that we can maybe get a little bit of help from them, just, you know, in ideas and things like that.
Well, and on the subject of help here, I mean, folks, in the 512 area code, 653-5569, if you want to take a direct approach to this and be involved, and stopping this, folks, because, you know, once that camel's nose gets in the tent, forget about it. You're going to be looking at his butt here pretty soon. And his email for Jeremiah is Jeremiah G, that's JEREMIAHG, at RiseUp, RISEUP .net, RiseUp.net. And the website again, and he's soliciting for the horror stories out there so he can post on the web at TexansAgainstCheckpoints.com. org. Anything else, Sebastian?
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job, and keep up the work, Jeremiah. I mean, this is definitely the segue for Total Crackdown. So,
well, finally,
definitely stand up for this one.
Yeah, man. Because as a talk show host, I can bring you on air to let folks know about what's going on. But folks, you know, this is going to affect all of us. Now, politicians like to use a term called a slippery slope. I'd say we're on a sleigh ride, sleigh ride here to hell. That's where I'm looking at it. Thanks for your call, Sebastian. I appreciate it very much. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
I was going to just make a couple quick comments. I know your time's about up, but I think you guys are way too polite. I also remember that I'll follow you home, too, but what you're discussing is it's getting like a broken record. Oh, well, that's an old person term, too, but... this scenario and other myriad scenarios, I think, fit the agenda really well. The objective isn't about justice or safety or security. It's about police state control.
Yes.
Several years ago, I read several articles regarding criminal justice experts postulating about official expectations that about half the population will be either in prison or ex-prisoners with felony records.
Right.
And I confirmed that a year ago. So, or about there with a ex-coworker who used to work here. He had a PhD in criminal justice, and he agreed. Yeah, that's the expectation. You know, felons used to get their personal effects back, including firearms, up to about 70-80 years ago. But
yeah.
Now they can't own weapons, they can't vote, they can't be bonded, they can't have real privacy, they can't run for a lot of offices, that kind of thing.
Well, and believe it or not, there were provisions to have your full constitutional rights restored,
yeah.
Even if you were a convicted felon and spent time in prisons. Just ask Bob Stewart from Monty Griffith.
Right.
That's in prison right now because the court didn't recognize that after 7 years, you keep your nose clean, congratulations, you got your full rights back.
Now there's no more payment of the debt to society. Their debt, like the public financial debt, is permanent,
right.
Basically.
Yeah.
And the objective in my point of view is half the population at least with no rights. You remember the recent article, I think it was Fairfax County, Virginia, they're busting folks in bars and restaurants. And the locals are considering Gestapo. I may have the location wrong, but, you know, they were talking about the police just walking in and busting people for whatever they felt like.
Was this last year?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
They didn't mention the KGB and the NKVD, but, you know, they did mention the Gestapo in the articles in the press. But it occurred to me that busting people converts citizens into peasants. They're easier to transform into property of the state, you know.
Well, and what it also does, and this has been high on my priority list, there is a trust between person to person in a country, authorities, whatever the case may be. And what we're basically turning into this country is a bunch of fearful people. They're not communicating with each other anymore.
That's true, and there's other aspects of the society that are doing that, too.
Absolutely.
Also, another output effective is the suppression of a publicly desired output or, you know, product produces crime. You know, the WCTU and Kerry Nation, you know, all allegedly had positive motives. I lost some fellow public school graduates with that one. But the result was Al Capone, Bugsy Malone, Joe Kennedy, you know, other organized crime dynasties. And they're like luggage. You can't seem to get rid of them, you know. So it seems like a natural outcome. The last thing I was going to mention was I went with my daughter yesterday to pay her first traffic fine. You know, congratulations, honey. You've made the big time at the new county district court building.
Mm-hmm.
here in, you know, Michigan. This place was under construction for over a year. I heard the construction ran into tens of millions of dollars. They already had a court building. I couldn't figure out why they needed a new one, other than the new one looks like a palace or an art museum, you know.
Well, in Battle Creek, they built the new Justice Center, which I had to laugh because remember the old Superman cartoons, the superheroes?
Yeah.
That's what their thing was called. It was the Justice Center.
Well, that's kind of appropriate in a sort of sardonic way, but I found out why they needed the new place yesterday. All incoming personnel are treated as prejudged criminals. You strip all your property for inspection. And I tried a little dark humor. I suggested to one of the officers that, you know, eventually we're just going to have to take off all their clothes. And he said, well, I hope I'm not working here when they do that. And I said, well, I hope I don't have to do it either because I don't have a body for it. And people, I was holding up the line. It didn't occur to me to, you know, take care of this ahead of time.
Right.
But the only possible positive outcome was I converted a couple of people in line behind me.
Well, and again, you know, I tell people, and there's a lot to this statement when I say, you know, we're building houses anymore without front porches. What does that tell you about a society?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your call, John.
Thank you.
I appreciate it very much. Do you think we're being too nice, Jeremiah? Would it go over better if I was standing on the table right now screaming?
That type of anger could definitely be warranted. I mean, this is completely just flying in the face of what the forefathers had in mind. I mean, if you think, just think about what any of them would have to say about the potential for roadside roadblock checkpoints.
Well, the top security guy for the FAA at Detroit Metro Airport years ago when they first started, this is before the box cutters and the issues of planes flying into buildings. I had called him on the issue because I used to fly a lot out of Detroit Metro, and I called him up and I said, look, I don't want to show a driver's license to get on an airplane. And he and I had a nice talk. And evidently the guy was rooted in something other than just his policy, that he knew something about positive law and the Constitution. At the end of the conversation, he asked me, and his name was Brown. I know he's not there anymore, so I can say that his name was Mr. Brown. But at any rate, he asked me, Jeremiah, he said, what do you think the founding fathers would be doing at this time? And I said, remember those guns they talked about that were close to the vest? I said,
yeah.
I think they'd be smoking about now. And he said, that's what I figured. Elizabeth in Michigan. Hello, Elizabeth.
Great show. I'm thinking of taking a road trip. I think I'll ask my husband if we can just risk the box cutters. Oh, what I wanted to call about was the fact that I don't know how the media handles these accident reports when they report on them, but our media seems to, every time there's an accident, even if there's deaths involved, they will state, always follow the report up with alcohol use is suspected. Or,
right.
Every report, and it makes me so angry to think of those poor people, the family that are left, have to face the that, you know, on top of the situation they're facing, they have to hear that alcohol use is suspected when they don't even know at that point. Maybe the accident occurred 2 hours prior to the report.
Right. Well, you know, and to follow up on my statement earlier about people distrusting each other, in a society you can't legislate morality or ethics. You know,
no.
That comes from the individuals and the people. And I'll tell you what, with mistrust factors ever increasing in today's society, there ain't a whole lot of love around no more and less respect for people. And this is what really is at the root of this, is personal
yeah.
responsibility and respect for each other. That's
yeah,
really what's at the bottom
of this. The Bible says the love will wax cold. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your call. We're out of time. All right. Thank you very much. Jeremiah Griffin has been the guest for the last 2 hours. His email, jeremiahg@riseup.net, the website texansagainstcheckpoints.org, and his phone number, area code 512-653-5569. Jeremiah, thank you. We'll stay in touch. Any more developments, we'll get it on the air.
All right, thanks for having me on.
All right, folks, we'll see you Monday.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy
heavy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.